Hey guys, welcome back to episode 33 of Star Wars Year by Podcast. I'm Halls from Blue Harvest. This is my buddy Steele. So Star Wars History Podcast, sort of, where we go by the Star Wars Year by Year book, updated and expanded edition. And per the rules set forth by my buddy Steele, it's divisible by three, so everybody gets this one, not just the patrons.
You got to go by the three. It's the magic. Man. It's the magic number. Did you know that? Yes,
I heard. I heard that one time. I heard that from a reliable source one time.
Now, we are at episode 33, which brings us to 1987, mm-hmm. page 134 for all the sickos out there.
Yep, the neens.
Reading, listening, watching along. And I've got to say, it's a pretty bumper half year for a dead time in Star Wars.
It is a pretty good year for a dead time in Star Wars. Just briefly looking over it, pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like a lot more like these are some very long running concepts that were being introduced. Whereas, like in 86, there was a lot of activity, but it was mainly droids and Ewoks, which then
was gone. Right, like then it was
went the way of the. I'm trying to think of someone's name. I've forgotten all the names. Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Oh.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Should we? I think Hawes. I think you might have it might be a bit close to the microphone.
Am I breathing real heavy in it?
Yeah. Not real heavy, but just a light wisp of breath. Like
that's real fat guy behavior right there.
Listen, Hawes, the last thing I want to know is that you're alive. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's a little harsh. Damn. All right.
Okay. Well, the breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you stop breathing, then, yeah, don't take it the wrong way, Hawes. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not rooting for it.
We'll see what happens.
All right, come on. Be a happier hack guy. You got your tool hat on?
Oh, dude. So I got to tell you a story. It's related to you and this podcast. I don't know if it was the last time we recorded or the time before. I was wearing this hat and a Coheed and Cambria shirt. And I come into the little recording studio and Steele goes, bro, you look like a festival poster. And I changed my hat real quick. So then Tuesday.
I still got it.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Tuesday, I'm getting ready to go see my family. And wouldn't you know it, I put that same damn shirt on, right? And then I'm looking through my hats and I just grab one and I put it on and I see my reflection in the door before I'm going out. And I go, I'm not showing up to see my family looking like a festival poster.
I've hexed you. Well, so, that's what you get for dissing Clark's Wallabies.
Damn, that really made an impact with you. Okay. So I wanted to show you something real quick, buddy, before we get started, because it's going to be a few years before we get to this in Star Wars history. But I finally opened that sealed box of Star Wars Galaxy cards on my stream. And I picked out a few choices.
You got to explain to the layperson what Star Wars Galaxy cards are.
Star Wars Galaxy cards came out in 1993.
How's old Saunders opening the gate for everyone?
Yeah. 30 years ago, these cards came out, which...
Oh, my stars.
Makes me feel so old, dude. Oh. And it's my favorite series of Star Wars trading cards because it's all artwork, right? It's not movie stills, which I think are cool. Like, the old ones are sick, obviously, but... I like to see all the different artist interpretations and stuff.
And I should point out, 30 years ago, very limited opportunities to see all these. Like, you know, there's no Instagram, there's no Twitter, there's no Artist's Alley.
Right. And as I'm going through it, like, because it's been 30 years since I opened a pack of these, and so many of these images, like, I remember or have become very iconic since. But I pulled out a few choice weirder ones to show you to see if you remember some of these.
Love it.
First up, look at this, Luke. Now he's keying out a little bit, but the important thing is the look on his face. I thought of you and Harry with this one, Sluggy.
Ah, Space Sluggy.
This one, I don't know. So you weren't really buying comics back in 1993, were you?
Yeah, no, I was. Dark Horse. Like, okay. Yeah, I'm Nomi Sunrider. I'm all over it.
Fair enough. So do you remember there would be like ads for Star Wars Galaxy cards and comic books back in the day?
Yeah, for sure.
And I always remember this image being one of them. Wicked.
Really?
Yeah, that would be in the ad.
That Wicket's on Coruscant when you hold it up.
Yeah. Now, because it's 1993, you know that what there's a lot of in this first set is Bikini Leia cards. Like this one.
It's pretty wild style.
This one's kind of spicy.
Wow.
You have to sign up to someone else's Patreon to see that kind of Star Wars stuff. Sick. That's sick, Han.
Han and Carbonite. This is great for the listener.
Another Leia bikini.
Yeah, right. Leia in the bikini floating through a cosmic.
Another.
Oh my God, there are so many Leia bikinis.
I know, dude. I couldn't believe how many. Because, you know, it's not something that they really do much of anymore. And then this one, I just think is so sick. Because look at this one-shouldered number Luke is wearing in this. Can you see that?
Yeah, the ones like that always really annoyed me.
Because it looks nothing like the movie?
It just looks like some, like European bootleg.
That's the exact vibe it gives off. The Death Star doesn't look right. The X-Wings are upside down. It's chaos.
I didn't actually remember that one. Because I collected that set pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And old mate Nathan Hamill has got a card or two in there.
Oh, really? In the first set?
I'm pretty sure it's the first set. I think it might be like Luke standing in front of the Lars homestead and like Vader's face is painted a little bit over him.
Oh, and then just because... You know, things changed so much post 1993, but I thought this one was sick.
Oh, wow. It's like
it's Sebastian Stan as inside the Vader helmet. Like it's like an X-ray of the Vader helmet with him in it.
No, Sebastian, someone else.
Shaw. Yeah. Sebastian Stan is the guy that everybody wanted to play Luke.
Luke.
Yeah.
Not his dad.
No, not his dad.
All right. Should we crack into 87?
Let's do it.
All right. Wait there. Get me back up. There we go. All right, I'll bang it out. As the Star Wars phenomenon turns 10 years old, Star Tours at Disneyland becomes the first theme park attraction to be set in a galaxy far, far away. Disney head Michael Eisner praises the motion simulator, calling Lucas the next generation of a Walt Disney. And fans line up to be among the first to rocket to the moon of Endor. Meanwhile, the first official fan convention takes place amid a flood of anniversary-themed merchandise, including a metal coins, plates, mugs, plates, posters, and pins. But plates. They've got the plates.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a big George Lucas quote here on Star Tours. And isn't this a
look into the future?
Yes. He says, I wanted to make sure that it was done right and it was maintained right and that it was operated correctly. Disney is the only place in the world where that can happen. All right. Do you want to bust through the Star Tours one and, okay. And we'll talk some Star Tours.
Yeah, man. Star Tours opens January 9th, 1987. Star Wars opens at California's Disneyland theme park. George Lucas and Michael Eisner cut the ribbon at the opening ceremony, and the ride attracts record-breaking lines. Eisner jokingly describes the opening crowds as 9,000 people who should be in school. The ride contains ILM's longest visual effect shot to date. 4.5 minutes of continuous effects footage simulating an uninterrupted view through the Star Speeder viewport. Star Tours features the conceptual work of George Lucas, Disney Imagineers Tom Fitzgerald and Tony Baxter, and ILM's Dennis Muren. In celebration of the debut, Disneyland remains open for a 60-hour marathon from 10 a.m. on January 9th to 10 p.m. on January 11th.
God damn.
That's a long Disney marathon.
Imagine, do you think people rode it twice during the marathon? Like, if there's 9,000 people in the line.
Yeah, right? I mean, do you think anybody stayed there for the whole marathon? Just went in at 10 a.m. on January 9th and left 2 days later, 3 days later?
I'd like a documentary about the marathon. Like, did people sleep there? Was the whole park open?
Right? I've never heard that detail before.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I went to the in the Magic Kingdom. Have I mentioned this for you before? I went to a party, like a private party there.
Mm-hmm.
Have I talked to you about this?
When your friend got out and took the picture with Buzz Lightyear on the ride?
Yeah, and I rode Star Tours, I think it was, I can't remember if it was 12 or 14 times.
Oh, shit. So that's the new version too, right? That has all the different.
Yeah, that's why I was doing it.
Yeah.
I was also off my dial. And I had a wristband that got me straight back on. So I was just like.
I would have done the same thing.
But Disney After Dark.
Woof. Sounds fun.
That's the place.
Hey, did you ever get to ride Hyperspace Mountain when they changed?
I did.
Awesome, right? Dude, so good.
Akbar's in it.
Uh-huh.
He appears in
So when you're going, when you're first going up the first sort of hill and they start playing the Star Wars music, I was like, done. This is amazing. This is all I need.
It was super fun. The but the OG Star Tours, did you go on it, Hawes?
I may have gone on it when I went to my, because it would have been 88. So I don't know. When would Star Tours have opened in Disney World? Because I went to Disney World in 1988. It may not have been there yet. If I did, I don't remember riding it.
I'm not seeing any upcoming mention of it.
Yeah, so I think it might have been. I've only read the, the new version.
Yeah, the old version was, it was sort of frustrating for me.
Oh, really?
I just wanted more. I just wanted, let's just do the movies. I don't want to go through the ice cave.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like when there was a Star Destroyer or whatever, I'm like, sick, let's go. But then there was sort of a bit that could have just been out of a generic 80s sci-fi film, Star Chaser, The Lost Odyssey or some bullshit.
Right.
So that it was still great, but it was X-Wings, bro. Where are they at?
Yeah, I don't have any recollection of riding the original.
I do have videotape of it. I've got to start uploading these videos, but from my home videos.
From when you went to Disney.
Yeah, Disney World.
With the AT-AT that shot water.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. I know the reaction of me seeing that for the first time will be It'll be up there.
Pretty good.
It'll be up there with one of the great reaction vids. It could be the first reaction video, but it just hasn't been posted yet. So what are you gonna do? But I should put up this other picture of Michael Eisner. God, he looks like a creative genius.
He is not, as far as I remember, or as far as I can recall, not regarded as one of the better heads of Disney.
He doesn't look like he's got it in him.
So, okay.
He doesn't look like, I'm just judging, but he does present, he's a corporate executive. This is how right. He's presenting himself with his haircut. He doesn't seem like the most dynamic thinker.
No. And listen, all right. Star Tours, great. You want to have Uncle George out there cut the ribbon. R2-D2, C-3PO, we got a Wicket tooling around in the back. What are Mickey and Minnie wearing, man? Those don't look Star Wars outfits at all.
I don't know, but if...
They're not bad outfits. They just don't look Star Wars.
If they rock them today, oh, the wokeness.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there would be some very angry people on Twitter and with YouTube. Yeah.
If you're listening to the podcast, they're like wearing like rainbow spacesuits. It's
they're cool. They're like silvery, sparkly silver spacesuits with rainbows on the chest.
Yep. Get a load. I'll see if I can zoom in on this bad boy for you. First of all, I'll bring this into view. George Lucas looks like he's got a fake beard on.
He does. I wonder if he had a shaving mishap. Because as a beard guy, it sucks when you mess up your beard while you're trimming it up. And then he just went to the Halloween prop store and got one for me. So I'll just slap this on. It does look like a fake beard.
But did Mickey have a big night out with George the night before? Because his eyes...
He has seen some stuff, Mickey has.
He's got some rings around his eyes. Mm. Quite a vibe. And then in February, actually covering the... Oh, do you have any other Star Tours thoughts before we...
I think the new one's awesome. I've rode that a few times, and I think it's real cool.
I reckon it's sick, and I love that they can just plug new stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. The one bummer I had was when I went, it was May of 2018. So every time I rode it, it did the... not Scarif. What's the planet from the end of Return, The Last Jedi?
The red one.
Yeah, it did that every time. Like, it didn't. So, like, the first two or three or whatever were different, but it always ended on that segment on Crate. Got it.
Ah, Crate.
That was a bit of a bummer because it didn't feel like the full Star Wars experience, Star Tours experience, where it's, like, different, completely different when you ride it.
I do have to say, one of the ever endearing things of Star Tours that has never changed, it's the safety video before you get to go mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. I've got video of that for sure. I taped that when I went there in 98 or something. But where it's like kids and old people
mm-hmm.
and then Wookiees yep. and Admiral Ackbars and all sorts of... good stuff. Ewoks, lots of Ewoks, and they've got to put all their stuff under. It's delightful.
It's real good. I also like, in the original, did they do the thing where there's the spy on board and one person on the ride gets singled out as the spy?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought that might be something from the new one.
I had to think about it, but I'm going to go with a no. Yeah, that was a new introduction. I've never been the spy.
Me neither. And I went on there and I tried to look spy as hell, buddy. Just looking real shifty, looking over my shoulder. I said, oh, they're going to make me the spy this time. Whispering to folks.
Ah, that night I actually wrote it. Just me and one Disney employee at the end.
Oh, and the Disney employee was the spy?
I don't think they did the spy because I don't think we were in the right seats.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's hit Feb, and it's farewell to Bantha Tracks. Bantha Tracks publishes its final issue with issue 35. At this point, fan club membership has dwindled to about 5,000. Lucas says, Lucasfilm has taken a break from the Star Wars saga to complete new film projects. I've heard that one before. Mm-hmm. The fan club is going to take that break too. And it says the final issue of Bantha Tracks takes an in-depth look at the new Star Tours ride. I'm guessing Bantha Tracks before your time as yes. a active posting for things Star Wars fan whores.
This is the year I would have seen Star Wars for the first time.
Oh, really? Happy Star Wars.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bantha Tracks performance. I mean, I have a few issues of Bantha Tracks in my collection, but not an active subscriber in its first run.
Yeah, I went back and got a bunch of them. I remember, especially in the 90s, they were just like
so
fascinating.
Easy to
Everything
find.
Was good in the 90s. It was all yeah. fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It was so little. So very, very, very little. Hit us with this landmark event, Hawes.
Buddy, I know it's my turn, but you have to do this one. You have to. This would be like if it was an entry about Tool. You got to do this one.
Really?
Yeah, man. You're my Simpsons buddy.
All right.
When I think of the Simpsons, I think Steel Saunders.
Oh, really? I thought everyone was into the Simpsons.
Well, I am, but like... When I think The Simpsons, I think my buddy Steele. You got to handle this one.
The Simpsons. April 19, The Simpsons debuts as a cartoon segment on the Tracy Ullman Show and will be featured throughout the show's first three seasons. And then you've got the very rudimentarily drawn 80s Simpsons. And I had a preview to, because you know, especially in the 80s, Hawes, we might hear like word of a pop culture phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something we can look forward to. It's coming
mm-hmm.
in 6 or 9 months, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew about The Simpsons. And my friend Renton, who... turned out to be a pro skateboarder. I still message him all the time. His dad worked for Gaffney International, which is a licensing company in Australia. And they were the licensee for The Simpsons. So he had the hot tape.
Nice. You got to see it early then.
Yeah.
So was it The Simpsons proper, the show, or was it these? Was it these shows?
No, it was Tracy Ullman show. It was like the Marvin Monroe one.
Okay. Okay.
With how they all electrocute themselves and stuff.
Man, within the last couple of years, I watched all of The Simpsons. Like, because remember when I texted you about the Lost episode that was centered around the TV show Lost? That was during my watch of The Simpsons. I just watched everything that was up on Disney Plus. That first season, the voices are so weird. Like, they hadn't really nailed the roles, specifically Homer.
Yeah, the first season's pretty unwatchable. Is Bart the General in the first season?
Now, that's tough to say. It's hard for me to remember where they separate, because when you watch it on Disney Plus, it just rolls. It's not like, hey, you're starting season two. You know, obviously, I noticed when the animation got better and the voices started to be more like the ones, you know, that we're so familiar with today.
But, remember original Simpsons hype with the giant screen printed T-shirts, Eat My Shorts?
Oh, yeah.
Baby. And people thought it would be bad for kids.
Oh, yeah. That was what was going around my school, because I went to a very sort of religious school, was like, you should not be watching The Simpsons, which just made me want to watch The Simpsons more. And I remember the original run of Simpsons merch that were dolls. Do you remember those? The Simpsons dolls that were probably, you know, maybe seven or eight inches tall.
What, action figures or?
No, they were like, their bodies were stuffed and they had.
Oh, yeah,
like
and the plastic head.
The plastic squishy head. Yep.
Yeah, like a carnival prize.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I would describe it.
You've been to the Simpsons World at Universal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
God, Hawes, that was very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, I got to go into the Quickie Mart. Got to have a Duff. The Simpsons ride, also not too bad. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. The getting a beer at Moe's.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, I loved it.
And I convinced, because we've got like the season pass for Universal. So whenever Harry's got a day off, we go up there. It's like if it's a school day, because then there's hardly anyone there. And Mario World. Mamma mia.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But I got, he always wants to eat at the Minions Cafe.
Okay.
And so this time I was like, Harry, we always eat at the Minions Cafe. Dad has literally wanted to eat a Krusty Burger for 35 years. Can I please go get a Krusty Burger, Harry? And he goes, okay, this time.
Good. My dude. My dude.
But how's this? The one time he relents, the rib witch had gone.
That sucks.
They had a rib witch.
And it was no longer there.
And I said to the guy, where is it? He goes, I don't know. They just took it away.
Dude. I'd be scoping that joint out for when they bring it back every time.
I resentfully stared at my child.
I've been eating Minions related food. What do they serve at the Minions Cafe?
Oh, just like chicken sticks.
Okay.
You know, like tenders and chips and it's
and
not
the Minions
really...
are there.
Yeah, you can get a Minion cup, I guess. But there are Minions around in the restaurant, like, molded.
I got to be honest with you. Minions, not my thing. I've tried. Don't get it. Not my age group. But, you know, that same studio did the Mario movie, the recent one. And that movie is perfect. Like, it was way better than it had any right to be. I was so blown away by that Mario movie. It is so good.
I've seen it about 20 times, Hawes.
Buddy, and I probably have seen it close to that many times, and I don't have a kid. That's by my own choice.
The because he loved it. It was the first movie he saw at the cinema.
Oh, and, great first movie.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And so when it came out to buy on Amazon, you know, it's like $20 or whatever. And I'm like, because he wanted to watch it. Like he's always asked, when will it be on the app?
Oh.
And so I was like, I am thrifty with the purchasing of digital products, but I'm like, he's going to watch the hell out of this.
Yeah. Like, it's money well spent.
And yeah, so we have watched it many, many times. And every morning we listen to the soundtrack on the way to school.
Peaches, peaches, peaches. I love that whole movie, Jack Black sort of does a Bowser impression until it comes time for him to sing. And then he's just like, we're just doing this as Jack Black, baby.
I like Jack Black far more in Mario than in Star Wars.
Fair enough. I liked him in both, but in Mario, he was... Hey, when he goes, jam with me. Great.
I'd say the best bit... Not the best bit. One of the great little Easter eggs in there is when Bowser and that little wizard dude go... Do-do-do-do-do-do.
That's
They're
it.
Playing another piano.
He comes in, he goes, jam with me.
Oh, is that the bit? Okay, sorry.
Like that movie got some like legitimate laughs out of me and it kind of surprised me, you know, like I think it was really good.
I had a real good time.
Hey, if anybody hasn't checked out the podcast, I do High Potion with my buddy, Steve, it's a video game podcast. Our latest episode was about the Mario movie. So even if you're not into video games, but you've seen that movie, maybe give that one a whirl.
Give that one a power up.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, the one bummer of the movie, where's Yoshi?
Oh, did you see? I mean, I was about to ask a dumb question. They set him up for the sequel in the after credits scene.
You hear his voice or something?
Mm-mm. So when they're getting ready for Peach,
there's an after credit scene.
Yeah. Yeah, when they're getting ready for Peach and Bowser's wedding, right? And they're setting all the gifts on the table. Somebody puts the white
the
and green
egg.
Yoshi.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then in the after credit scene, there's a shot of that egg and it starts to hatch.
Does Yoshi come out?
Mm-mm. It just starts to hatch. You do see some Yoshis. You see,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
a
running
group of
in
Yoshi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because when, when we watched it and the Yoshis rode past, Harry looked at me and goes, Yoshis! Like, it was such a... Because we always talk about how it's a common thing. It'll just out of the blue go, do you think Yoshi will be in number two of Mario? Because he was telling me, my four-year-old, he said at the very end, I go, there's like, you hear Yoshi go, say hello or something, right?
Or whatever, yeah, it's a little Yoshi noise.
Like right at the end of the credits, apparently. He's telling me this morning. And I said, I go, what, at the end of the credits? No, Daddy, at the end of all the words. And I said, yeah, they're called credits. Oh, bro. Yes. Credits.
So you know what they did? They did the Darth Vader breathing at the end of Phantom Menace. Credits.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. Do you want to do this next one under the Simpsons?
Yeah. Principal photography begins on Tucker, the man in his dream, in Marin County, California. Lucas puts up the initial money for Francis Ford Coppola to begin production with Paramount as the backer and distributor. Never seen that one. Never seen it.
Never seen it. It sounds boring.
No buys.
Zero buys, baby.
Zero buys. You know what I'm going to do instead? Go watch the Mario movie again.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. How about this one? April 27th, Alec Guinness is honored by the Film Society of Lincoln Center at its 16th annual tribute to film achievement. The 12th century, what is it? The 12th awards for amazing achievement in the field of excellence. That was a ripper. Mm-hmm. I messed up that song, but man, that was a
good
hit.
There in the end.
Hmm. Anyway, what was I saying? Film achievement. Film Society President Alfred R. Stern says, over the years, no one has given us more pleasure than Sir Alec Guinness. That sounds hot. Prior to the event, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill joined Guinness at the Restaurant Tavern on the Green in New York City. Oh, wow. Bit of tavern update.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You think
great.
He was real cranky at that dinner with the youngins?
No. You reckon? I reckon he's a good... I think he liked those guys.
Oh, I'm not saying he didn't like them. He just seemed maybe a little cranky.
You've had your brainwashed by sensitive Star Wars fans.
I think I am a sensitive Star Wars fan, Steele. Have we not figured that out over freaking 8 years of friendship, my dude?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
You
want to hear me talk about Book of Boba Fett?
No. As soon as you said that, I started thinking about it. And then I made a decision in my head, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. Let's do this Seasons of Change one, Hawes. Give us this one a rip.
All right. George Lucas talks in the New York Times about the anniversary of Star Wars and his new fantasy adventure, Willow. The film opens on Memorial Day, the last Monday of May, 2 weeks earlier than is usual for blockbusters. Tom Sherrick, president of distribution at 20th Century Fox, says George Lucas effectively moved the summer forward 2 weeks from the middle of June to the end of May.
He's like the groundhog or whatever.
Uh-huh. The Wednesday before Memorial Day is called George Lucas Day. We should start celebrating that.
Woo. I love people that point out the real Star Wars Day is the 26th of May or whatever it is. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, but does that sound, does May the 26th sound good? No! Let us have it.
It's not Star Wars birthday anyway. It's Star Wars Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Do you know what I heard? This is a good one. I saw an angry person on Twitter.
Oh, I love this. I love a good angry person on Twitter story.
Talking about how Kathleen Kennedy ruined the Willow franchise.
Franchise. One movie.
One movie in 30 years.
One movie in 30 years and a TV series. Oh, and some books. Remember when they did those?
No.
They did like a whole EU for Willow. There was like, I want to say 3 or 4 sequel novels to Willow that were written by George Lucas. And I want to say Chris Claremont, who is a prolific X-Men writer.
Oh. When was that in the 80s?
80s or not. So I bet you, I almost guarantee if you saw the cover of one of them, you would recognize it because they were also heavily advertised in Dark Horse Comics back in the day.
Oh, interesting. This one's cool. Right there. Got to get this back up. Bang. First celebration, whores.
Oh.
May 23rd to 25th. In conjunction with Starlog magazine. What a parchment that was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
The first Lucasfilm sanctioned fan convention. I have to say, I did this with skateboarding as well. I would read all those magazines, like just the Star Wars bits. And then do you know what I'd do? I'd start at the start again and read all those magazines. I would put them, they would be in like chronological order of like real life, and I'd just go through and memorize all the stupid tidbits.
I would do that too, buddy.
What a bunch of dorks. Anyway, the first Lucasfilm sanctioned fan convention is held at the Stouffer Hotel in Los Angeles. The 3-day event honors the saga's first 10 years, in addition to an exhibit of Star Wars models and artifacts. ILM's Lorne Peterson, Bruce Nicholson, Steve Gawley, and Dave Carson make presentations on special effects. Guest speakers include Howard Rothman for Lucasfilm and Kim Strub for THX. God, imagine how good she would have been mic'd.
Mm-hmm.
Or him. In addition, special appearances are made by, you guessed it, Anthony Daniels and George Lucas, plus R2-D2 and Darth Vader, who appear in character. Oh, paying special tribute to George Lucas are Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, Irvin Kershner, Lucasfilm VP Sid Gainis, Lucasfilm marketing director Charlie Lippincott, and producer Gary Kurtz. So, point out the big guns. That's the, I've seen photos of like Gene Roddenberry and George Lucas together.
Mm-hmm. Look at that picture of George standing next to that big painting, poster. Oh, it's a painting, I guess. Holding a glass of champagne, wearing the beginning of Temple of Doom white Indiana Jones jacket. Sheesh, look at him, man.
How's the, it's actually a giant birthday card, I believe.
You know what it is, because I can see it now, all the signatures on the other one. Man, I wish I got to sign that card. That's what I would do with a time travel machine, Steve. Go back and sign that card, yep.
Because they've even done it on R2-D2.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a little rude.
there's a comic book shop up the road, Green Apple Comics. It's quite famous, I believe. And they've got an R2-D2 in there, like, you know, one of those good R2-D2s that they sold, like on a black base or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all the famous people that have been in there have signed it. Like, do you know what I mean? So like Keanu Reeves and Patton Oswalt and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, that's really cool. But you drew an R2-D2.
Right. It's a little disrespectful. Maybe just get a nice big whiteboard poster or something for all these guys to sign.
get a giant birthday card for all I care. Yeah. But it always bothers me when I go in there. I'm like, God, you ruined that R2-D2.
Man.
But,
So at what point during this first Star Wars convention do you think the DJ came into the hall at 3 a.m.
and woke
everybody up? Got him. You think Kenner had a cool exclusive?
Nothing.
It's where you got the Han and Stormtrooper from the original.
That would have been sick.
Mm-hmm.
There is an awesome, this poster is very good.
That poster is awesome. Like that, the first 10 years poster is incredible.
I'm pretty sure I've sold it. I had it.
And you sold it? Oof. Mm. That stings a little bit, buddy.
Well, I was just at a point, I had all these sick posters.
And nowhere to put them.
And I'm like, I'm never going to have this much space to put up all these posters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm pretty sure I sold that. Mine might have even been like that Smilash stuff. Remember that was really big, the shiny pictures in the the shiny paper?
Ooh.
But I got it off... I think I got it off Shane Morrissey, the guy that started the Australian fan club. Because when he was sort of, the Phantom Menace came out and he sold all his stuff. And so I used to go and got a few sweet posters. Mm-hmm. I probably got all those Bantha tracks off him as well. But so for those on the podcast, they have some 10th anniversary products for us to look at. A number of products are released for Star Wars' 10th anniversary, including the John Alvin poster, the first 10 years, which we were just talking about, and a set of rarities, mint 10th anniversary coins. Coins are right up there with plates, as far as plates now.
Because we looked at them and some of them were kind of sick.
They've got some ironic dopeness.
Mm-hmm. One. Like, I've decided I need one plate, one Star Wars plate, just to point at and go, there's the plate, you know? Coins? I don't know about coins.
What if there was, like, a R5-D4 plate, and I could get that and, like, crack it in half?
I've been looking. Trust me. I've been looking to see if there is. Can't find one.
But that first 10 years poster is pretty sweet, with Luke holding up his lightsaber on Tatooine, which never happened. And it's at nighttime, and then there's Star Wars, and then in the letters there's all images from the original trilogy.
Pretty, yeah, and like really sick images sweet. Too, man. Like yeah.
It's a very well balanced poster.
Oh, I got my dude Boba Fett there in the A and star. I'm trying to see if they repeated anybody.
How's our Darth Vader's facing Ben Kenobi S to S with their lightsabers?
Whoa, dude, that's sick. I didn't even notice that. What a sick little detail. That they're facing off in the first and last letters.
Pretty tight. Now, Hawes, that actually brings us to the end of the first half of 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's 87's pumping.
There's some good stuff in 87. There's also something I see in the next page that I don't like in 87. We'll get to that.
All right. Interesting.
But yeah, man, 87, like, I'm kind of...
You don't like the English channel tunnel? The channel? You're against the channel.
Nah, that doesn't bother me.
Dude, I can't... We've got to do this episode. Like, let's just do it now, because I could just say that, like, it's one of my favorite words, channel. I've been on the channel. I've caught a train on the channel. Couldn't stop saying it. amazing.
Nice.
We always finish on a fast forward into the future. Whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
I believe it is.
All right. Yes.
Take us somewhere good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What page am I going to, bud?
You are hitting page 253.
Okay. Oh, holy moly. That's some stuff. You know what? I feel like we've looked at this.
No.
Because of the picture, the cinema of George Lucas picture where he looks kind of like Darth Vader.
Really?
I feel like we've commented on the cover of that book and how it looks like his collar makes him look kind of like Darth Vader without the mask on.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like a different, they use the photo twice in, like, that does sound familiar to me.
And me too.
But,
either way, this is where it took us.
Exactly. And I'm going to go with, oh, this one is a ripper. Just for your 2005. We're about to pump out a bit of Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
March 10th. Oh, I wish I was in America for this. The full episode 3 release trailer debuts on television during the OC.
That can't have been a high crossover. Like, that can't, well, I don't know, man. What do I know about the OC? Look at me, nothing. I look like a festival poster.
California, here we come, right back where we started from. California!
Was that the theme song to the OC?
Yeah, dog.
Was the OC scripted or was it reality?
Are you serious?
100%, buddy.
Marissa? Chino? Guy from Chino? Can't remember his name.
I don't remember. I don't know a Marissa.
Girl that Hayden Christensen married?
Ooh, okay. What was her name? Attractive lady. She was in Looper with him, right?
Allison? Not Allison.
Can't remember her name.
But yeah, that the OC was the drama. That was like Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much exactly the same. Like, person moves into rich, like, society and has to deal with it.
Okay.
But he, like, the Walshes, they were pretty white bread. This guy was from Chino, and dad was in prison, and it was full on. It was full on. But, yeah, no, during the OC, because the Revenge of the Sith was marketed very to the teens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, I remember.
Remember they had that special at Skywalker Ranch, and it was like on MTV or something, and it was all
buddy. I think you might be thinking about one of my favorite pieces of Star Wars media ever, and that is the 1999 MTV premiere of The Phantom Menace, where they had a bunch of people out to Skywalker Ranch. Who, you may ask, such luminaries as Jonathan Davis, the lead singer of Korn, Fred Durst, the lead singer of Limp Bizkit, and Robert Zombie, all taking pictures with a very nervous-looking George Lucas.
Fred Durst went to Lucasfilm.
We can watch it all on YouTube. I have. And they ask the lead singer of Korn, they're like, who's your favorite Star Wars character? And he goes, Boba Fett, 100% Boba Fett. And I was like, you know what I said? This is why we do it.
All right. Well, it doesn't get any better than that. So thank you to, thanks, Hawes,
for buddy.
Having a good time. Sweet hour of chat. Thank you to our patrons that keep us doing it. And I think we've probably done. probably 4 in 5 weeks, I feel.
Yeah, we've been doing good with these. I'm down to keep up the schedule while you can.
Well, now that I know when your day off is.
Mm-hmm. Now, that could change in a couple of months. We'll see, but...
It's a couple of months. We'll be... Yeah.
We'll be done with the book by then.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone else to listen. If you want to go back and hear the other 32 episodes, I think it's like $3 on Patreon for either Hawes on the Blue Harvest patron or my Steel Wars patron. It's either way. And why not both, as the GIF once said. And there's video to pretty much all the episodes. I think there's a few that before StreamYard got really easy to use, but it's and we've had little improvements along the way. Production values soaring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are you crinkling, Hawes, to take us out on?
Oh shit! How would this? This was a classic. man. Sorry, my bad. I'm a nervous guy.
Curse my normal hearing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, check out Steel Wars on are you on Threads, Hawes?
I am. I'm on Threads. Same thing, Blue Harvest Pod on Threads.
Yeah, it's the same as all the Instagrams, which is good. I go on Threads to talk about how none of my tweets will load on Twitter. So they never post. They're all delayed on my app. It's useless.
That whole thing sure is turning out well. Big weirdo buying Twitter, huh? Working out well.
Wow. 44 well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. But thank you so much, Hawes.
Thank you, buddy.
I'll talk to you next week doing this. May that force be with you.
See you guys.
Oh.